It's your good friends, and I might drive you around the bend. But I'm sure it's crazy kids to work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips to spite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
Dang, I tell you what, man.
Yeah.
Your first one,
yeah,
kind of cute.
Yeah.
This one's a fucking banger.
You think he's cute?
He's the cutest one yet.
They keep getting cuter.
Look at that one. Jesus Louisa, that's a baby model cute.
Yeah, he's starting to get hair.
Louis, you're a little cutie. You do look exactly like your brother.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. He's frustrated at the moment because he can push himself up, but he can't figure out how to crawl. He just does this like... It's like he's swimming on the carpet type of thing.
What a dummy.
Yeah, I know. It's not. Okay, well, he's right here.
Get your head in the game, Lewis.
Get your head in the game, Lewis.
Lil Lou.
Sometimes we can make him laugh.
L-E-W.
Do you think I can make him laugh on the show?
That's a very British thing, isn't it?
LBW stands for leg before wicket.
No, L-E-W. The name Lou, but it's L-E-W.
Well, LBW is very British. It stands for leg before wicket. It's a thing that happens in cricket sometimes. Lewis, what does the duck say?
There's more Indian cricket players.
I tell him this literally every day. Every single day I tell him what the duck says. It's quack, quack, quack. I just told him now, and I ask him, and he doesn't have an answer. He's like a deer in the headlights. Lewis, what does the duck say? What does the duck say? What does the duck say? Quack, 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 quack. Nothing. Just absolutely
I don't think you're supposed to shake him.
It was a gentle shake. Anyway, the baby's
Lewis, you're
here.
A cutie. Look at that cutie.
Yeah.
Did you ever get his Radiohead onesie?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you for that. I never thanked you for it, but I do thank you. We should say what's going on here.
It's a podcast that we do. We are the Strange Bedfellows. My name is Tanner, and I'm joined by my co-host. He calls himself, what do you call yourself? Bedfellow Jack?
Big Bad Bedfellow.
That'd be a cool, that's like a real, like, Victorian serial killer's name.
Bedfellow Jack, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He stalks the corners of Gin Alley at night. Bedfellow Jack is not someone you want sharing your bed.
Yeah, that's good. Ooh, it scared Lewis a little bit.
It scared Lewis. It freaked him out. He's not ready for that type of content.
What are we talking about? Oh, we introduced the show. We read romance books. We watch romance movies. We play romance video games.
Not yet, but maybe.
Read romance mangas.
Did we?
And we're not traditionally the romance audience.
No.
But it's 2022, baby. We're throwing tradition out the window.
Yeah, and that's what this book is about in a lot of ways.
We're invading your spaces.
Yeah, we're here. This is the future that liberals want.
That's our message. We're here.
Yeah. We watched a movie today that's kind of about the genre, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And it wasn't a romance. I say hard, strong yes. Although Wikipedia lists it as an action adventure comedy. But we agree that this is a romance, and it's about romance. It's about romance, the genre,
and it's about being romantic.
It's our generation's Romancing the Stone.
Yes,
it's called The Lost City. Starring Sandra Bullock, Channing Tatum, Daniel Radcliffe. Who else?
Oscar from The Office.
Oscar from The Office makes an appearance, cameo. Yeah,
And two very
Brad
funny
Pitt.
Actresses who may be famous, but I didn't know who they were, who are her agent and her agent's assistant.
Yes.
Who are both very funny.
Yes, both very funny. Do you want me to do my first segment?
Please.
You're summoning it.
I'm summoning it. Okay, yeah.
Because you're talking about her assistant.
Yeah.
Her agent has hired a social media editor for her.
Yes.
Who follows her around and has her phone and does her
very
social
funny.
Media.
Yeah.
And she's very funny. But I wanted to invite in, if I could. I know we just got here.
Yeah.
But she's in the world of kind of like internet marketing, you know, like
influencer marketing.
We're not really in the marketing space or like the branding space. So I thought we'd invite in the two lewd branding consultants.
Perfect. Yeah. I love those guys.
Horny Jack and Horny Tanner. Welcome. You guys are here because we wanted to pitch some alts here.
Yeah, let's pitch some alts. Because, we're just going to do a little touch-up work.
Yeah. She says, the assistant says,
I took over your social, so this morning you tweeted, where are my ladies at? Meet me at Ballroom G at 5 p.m. Hashtag Shawn Mendes. Hashtag gagging to meet you all.
And I think it's sexy. I mean, it depends. Here's where I'm saying I think we can come in and find the sexiness that is maybe just sort of like it's flirting on the surface there.
I mean, I love this. I want to say I love this.
What do we got?
So you want to get that sexier. Well, I think
gagging. So there's some ambiguity in gagging to meet you all.
Yeah. But that is supposed to be sexy, I think.
Okay. So then, yes.
Gagging on meat, y'all.
Yes. Gagging on my meat to you all.
Yeah, that's good. And I think the assistant later does do this later in the movie, but we might as well do it here. I think we should at Shawn Mendes as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do you really want me to tweet this?
Oh, we're tweeting it?
No.
Because if you're tweeting it, I might change some of the stuff we've landed on.
Oh, he's pissed.
He's pissed. He hates it.
Do you want Daddy to come back?
What do you think, Lewis?
Let's go get Daddy. Let's.
Should we go get Daddy?
Horny Jack, we should leave.
Okay. Well, we really tried our best, didn't we?
Yeah, the kid did not like it.
He did not like it. He doesn't like it when we go blue.
You know, it's the whole premise of Two Lewd Brain Control. Should we talk about what the movie's about?
Yes, let's do it. It's Romancing the Stone. It's very funny and clever. We liked it. I liked it. Well, see, I was going to say this. I learned something about myself from watching this film.
Okay.
And it is that sometimes when I fall asleep, like right at the end of the movie, which is every movie that I always watch.
Yeah.
Anytime.
Yeah.
I later think that I've seen more of the film than I in fact have.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I always say to myself the next day, I watched most of that, but I fell asleep at the end.
I got the gist.
I got it. I missed the like finale, but.
Yeah.
What I have learned from watching this movie a second time now, which is I did today, is that I know when I fell asleep, and it was at around minute 32.
Okay. It's like a two-hour movie.
Yeah, because after that, movie. I was all new to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'd even judged and maybe even like rated the movie somewhere.
But it held up on the rewatch.
On rewatch, I liked it even better.
Good movie. Very fun movie. It's a modern film. It just came out recently. It's got rave reviews. Everyone's talking about it on iTunes what do you call it? Apple TV.
Okay, yeah.
A social media network we helped launch, by the way. Yeah.
On Apple Books.
On Apple Books, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
We do a lot of reviews. It's a hit. It's a smash hit. And you know what?
I loved it.
Yeah,
I had a really good time with it.
Yeah.
It was very funny. It's like there's an acting style where like it kind of feels like the directors were like, hey, don't worry too much about the script. Just like say stuff and we'll like capture it.
Yeah.
And that kind of comes through. Let's describe it. It's about a lady.
Yes. Okay.
Who's a romance novelist.
Yes.
And she's
a secluded older romance novelist on her way out. Her star is fading, and she's played by Sandra Bullock. And she's turned into
America's Sweetheart.
A little bit of a curmudgeon.
Yeah, she's over it. She's decided she's written her last book. Her agents are trying to persuade her to do a big book tour. She doesn't want to do it, but she does it anyway. And she has a big event with Channing Tatum, who is the handsome model who is on the cover of all of her novels.
Yeah, they've been together a long time.
And her novels are all like kind of historically accurate romances. And the latest one is about the lost city of D. And that pun, my friends, is intended.
So the city was built on a lava dome. As the volcano became active, the dome filled with lava and sunken things rose to the surface. The D exposed itself.
The entire city?
Oh, no, just the tip.
In the movie.
Yeah, it is.
They make
is
a lot out of it.
Yeah. There's a whole bit with my, I guess I could do a segment.
Perfect.
It's the 6 minute and 31 second mark. There was a character introduced, and I couldn't help but think that.
You don't understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender.
I could have played this fucking part.
Yeah.
And it was this MC at her like book tour launch event, played by my podcasting, I guess, nemesis now, Bowen Yang.
Yes, my love, more heads. I am so excited to introduce to you the award-winning author, Loretta Sage. Yep, mount it. Mount it. Mount it. Okay. Find your center.
Oh, yeah. He's in this one, too. I feel like he's being in movies just to spite us.
Yeah.
Just to show us that some podcasters get movies and some don't.
I have a pod... Hollywood, I have a podcast, too. It's this one. It's not... I wouldn't say it's lighting up the charts, but it's like a... It's got a good, steady beat to it, you know?
Yeah.
Who are we texting?
I'm texting Sarah to tell her to please come and get this baby who's really taking up most of my attention.
And squealing quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah. So it's, you know, sometimes when, you know, not to name any names, but some of us just text whoever during the show.
Yeah, yeah.
But if daddy is texting during the show, daddy's texting because it's an emergency. And it's a show-related emergency.
Yeah. I'll miss him. Yeah, I like having him around. He's a real cutie. He's real roly-poly. He's like, he's interested in the screen. He wants to see Uncle Tanner.
Yeah. He does like to see his Uncle Tanner. Look, hey, Lewis, look. That's Uncle Tanner.
Hi.
Can you do a big smile at the Uncle Tanner?
Hi.
At least show him those. I was going to say those pearly whites. He actually doesn't have any.
Hi. Those... show him those gums.
Show him those empty gums. It's a funny film.
Thought Sarah
kidnapper.
Was coming.
I thought so too. I was really hoping. she's putting the other child to bed. The other child had a kind of a Ninja Turtles emergency.
Oh yes.
Thrown things really out of whack.
Yeah,
in this household.
Was it like a crisis of conscience or what?
It was more a crisis of he wanted to watch more of the 1984 Ninja Turtles cartoon, but bedtime kind of reared its ugly head, and when two immovable objects kind of run into each other, you know, you get explosions in that.
Yeah, that happens to us every now and then.
Yeah. What are we talking about? It's Miss Congeniality.
Oh, she's still not coming.
One.
Okay, so Miss Congeniality is played by Sandra Bullock, and she is the author of the books, and I don't remember either of their characters' names.
Well, we'll just call her Miss Congeniality. She so they have a book tour. It kind of goes badly. Channing Tatum tries to be good, and everyone likes him better than they like her.
Yeah, because he's a fucking hunk.
He's a big old hunk.
Hunk and a half.
But then she is kidnapped outside of the book tour by Equus.
Yes, Equus. And he's interested in more books about horse sex, please.
Is that what that's about?
I think that's what the play is about, yeah.
Jesus. I did not know that.
I think so. It might be about race horses.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Can we do my Equus joke again? Because it was so good. We did it on a podcast before. Can I just say it again?
Yeah.
I'll just say it again.
That was the old show.
I'll say it. I saw Equus recently, but I thought Daniel Radcliffe was going to have a bigger part. It's good, right? It just it slaps.
I think he does have a pretty, I'm just a lowly Bingus butcher.
Yeah.
But I think the hubbub was that he does have a pretty impressive penis.
Yeah.
So
Equus is very funny in this movie, and he's also kidnaps her.
Yes, he's a supervillain, a Bond-like supervillain.
Yeah,
who has bought an island in the South Sea.
He's discovered the lost city of D, the actual lost city of D that her romance books are based on, and he thinks that she's the only one who can translate the big thing that will say where the city is.
Yeah, correct.
I'm gonna pause now because I cannot concentrate.
Seems like it's very hard. I'm gonna run and grab some water.
Okay. Okay, we're back.
All right, Lewis is gone. Do you think we should just go back and
just do this again?
Redo all the segments again?
Yeah, let's get back to the branding consultants. Horny Tanner, get back in here.
You know what I thought? I realized I meant to do it. Well, this is inside baseball here.
Okay, perfect.
Welcome. Now you see how the sausage is made.
Welcome to Inside Baseball with Jack and Tanner.
Yeah. I meant to do it as the other one, two prude branding consultants. Because gagging to meet you all is way too horny.
Do you want to try that?
No, I feel like, no, there's no I don't think there's any approach anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's fine. Well, imagine what could have been, listeners.
I know.
Imagine.
I know.
I've never even met those guys. No one has ever met those guys, two branding consultants.
Yeah, they're very
those
busy.
Brand new characters that we were going to have. I wish.
Yeah.
You now have my full attention. Let me say a few things about this film. Let's see. Do you think that this film itself is just a vessel for a fairly intellectual discourse about the marginalization of genre fiction?
Oh, interesting. No.
I do think so. Let's see. At the 1 hour and 22 minute mark, Equus says, I saw him in Equus and I did think that he was going to have a bigger part.
Yeah.
He says,
"This is not one of your cheap, vapid lady fantasy books, Loretta. This is real life."
And her name is Miss Congeniality, is Loretta in this. And so there's a lot of fascinating interplay between this notion of what's fiction and what's real life. And the film, I think, is very much a discourse about the marginalization of genre fiction. Equus, of course, stands in for the gatekeepers of the MSM. The mainstream media or the lamestream media.
Oh, yeah. What do you call it?
I call it the lamestream media.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Yeah. The gatekeepers, the traditional gatekeepers who say that, you know, this is just romance or this is just sci-fi or this is just YA. And so it doesn't rise to the level of, you know, fucking Jonathan Franzen. And let's see. Die Hard's son is in this one, too, isn't he?
Die Hard's son.
Yeah, Die Hard's son is in this one. Have you seen
who
Die
was
Hard
that?
5?
Not recently.
It's got Channing Tatum, I think, is in it.
Oh, and he's Die Hard's son.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Jack here doing the edit with a little fact check here. Die Hard 5, also known as A Good Day to Die Hard, which came out in 2013 and is quite a bad movie. It stars a man named Jai Courtney as Bruce Willis's son, Jack. And Jai Courtney does look a lot like Channing Tatum in the sense that he is also a human person, but the similarities do end there. I did find an article online where Channing Tatum says that he would love to have been in a Die Hard movie if he had been given that opportunity. So I was basically right. Anyway, back to the show. Goodbye now. Bye.
Yeah, he's very good. He's playing a dork, I guess.
He stands in
but he's
for
like still a hunk.
He stands in for what could be.
Hunk and a half.
Because he is very nice. And he even has a conversation with Miss Congeniality about this situation where she's kind of shitting on romance lit. And she says it's stupid.
Okay, you were homecoming king and you coasted on your good looks to LA, but then realized being the most handsome kid in the middle of nowhere doesn't mean you're going to be a star. Oh, until one day when a woman who couldn't publish her book on Spanish colonization in the Atlantic decided to write a romance novel, chose you at random to be on the cover. Lucky for you and her, the novels were a smashing success. She kept writing her schlock. You kept posing. You know, neither one of us becoming who we'd hoped we would be. And then one day we both die in the jungle on one of those Atlantic islands I wrote about all those years ago. Right?
Yeah, she's pretty jaded.
She calls
it
trite.
Like she's...
And a waste of time. And he says, how dare you marginalize the experiences of the people who love your book.
Loretta, you can do whatever you want. If you don't want to write anymore, don't write. But don't minimize the people that love your work by calling it schlock. That's not fair to them. You know what's ironic? I thought you, of all people, would know not to judge a book by its cover.
Yeah, she's decided to be more of an intellectual.
Yeah,
now.
And she stands in for the internalized self-hatred of the oppressed.
Okay.
Doesn't she? Don't you think of these kind of
oppressed... I do. I was thinking that, too. I had that in my
notes. And then what do you think the crown of fire is? Because they're searching for this big crown of fire that's in the lost city of D, which is the big MacGuffin that they're searching for. And what do you think it is? Why don't I say...
Yeah.
I'll say, I think it's the unrealized dream that we can appreciate one day different narrative genres on their own merits without judging them based on incidental characteristics we've made up as a way of keeping the so-called canon homogeneous and safe for the historical gatekeepers of culture, people like you. Don't you think that's
like me?
What it stands in for?
Specifically or like, oh, okay.
And me, I guess.
Yeah.
Don't you think that's what it stands in for?
But I think if
the crown
any,
of fire
I
that
hate to give
for?
I hate to give us too much credit, but I think we've sort of been, I guess, like heroes.
I would say, heroes, and I'm hero for pointing it out. I think
by sticking to.
Would have expected somebody to sing for me, I guess, when I said all that stuff, but
sticking to media that's not, you know, intended. We're not the intended audience.
Oh yeah. We're heroes for kind of sliding our way into these spaces.
Yeah. I wouldn't say we're representative of MSM.
Yeah. No, we're the Channing Tatums.
We're like the new, what are all those alt newspapers that all went defunct in the late 90s?
Like city papers? Like alt weeklies?
Yeah. Yeah. Alt weekly. We're the new alt weekly. You know?
I think I follow you. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. As opposed to the MSM. We're blazing new paths for culture, and in fact, it's like that's where the real culture is happening.
Yeah,
and the mainstream media is represented here by Daniel Radcliffe. I thought he would have had a bigger part in Equus, but
he had a pretty big part in this movie, and I don't mean penis, but you know, he was the comic relief in almost the entire film. Very
and
good.
His failure to understand what the Cave of Endless Tears signifies is kind of proves my point, doesn't it?
Yeah, it certainly does.
Because they get there because he's like, she finally does translate the text and she leads them to this Cave of Endless Tears. And he's like, sweet, I'm going to find the crown and I'm going to be rich beyond my wildest dreams. But the crown is, in fact,
seashells.
He says, why would they build this here? But how is anyone supposed to worship or remember you if they can't even see it? And she says,
they aren't. This isn't a monument to Kalamon's power. It's a hiding place for a grieving woman. Taha came here to be with her fallen lover. She just wanted to be alone.
So it's a place of real meaning. And not just an empty husk of where the so-called canon thinks that meaning should reside. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Yes. What's happening to you?
Yeah.
It seems like you're not engaging with my content here.
No, I love this guy.
I like this guy too. I was just kind of taking him out for a spin, and I thought we were going to go around the block, but I was like, hey, let's get on the fucking Autobahn.
I thought
with this guy.
I thought,
who's this guy?
I thought he was fun and I thought his energy was really good. But he didn't seem to want to
have an interlocutor be anything other than just kind of helping to move the conversation along. Yes, true. Yeah.
Yeah.
That worked for me.
So, is it over now or should we?
I think that's all the quivers I have in
it happen? Could it happen again?
It could happen again because once you activate that dude, it just feels like it just comes out of me, that stuff.
Can I do a segment?
Yes.
What is your... name saved in Channing Tatum's phone as?
Yeah, he does a funny thing that's true. That's like a meme, kind of. Where he
There's like people I know whose their wife is still saved in their phone as like Hot Jenny or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
Like Alice from Bumble.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
20-minute, 30-second mark.
You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna change Sarah's name in my phone, which is just Sarah, to Hot Jenny, and then just have her see it at some point, and there'll be like this romantic moment, you know?
Yeah. She's gonna ask who Jenny is.
Yeah. No, I hadn't actually gamed that all the way.
You could just say it's like British slang.
Yeah,
you know?
It's British slang. Oh, that's what I call all the ladies, all the birds. That was an Australian guy. That's what I call the birds. Oh, Jenny.
Anyway,
that's funny.
20-minute, 30-second mark. Sandra Bullock has been kidnapped. She's off on the Lost City Island.
Yeah.
And Channing Tatum and her agent, whose name I don't know, nor the actress, nor the character.
But she was very funny and good in the film.
Yep.
And she has her own B plot, which is that she's like going from plane to boat to automobile to try to find Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Kevin's mom in Home Alone.
Yeah.
This movie is a lot like Home Alone.
It's a lot like that.
They're talking about how to rescue her, and Channing Tatum realizes that he has the number of an ex-Navy SEAL. And he says...
But he's an ex-Navy SEAL. He's a special ops trainer. Who is his name? Yeah, Jack Trainer.
So he's a trainer named Jack Trainer?
It's how I have everybody in my phone. Okay. See Janice, mom, Larry Doorknob, Stacey Buttstuff.
So now we... I don't know if we're in Channing Tatum's phone.
What are we?
We're going to have to crack this formula and then, like, insert ourselves.
So Doorknob is the one that kind of stands out to me.
Larry Doorknob. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe Channing Tatum helped him with his doorknob.
So what would Channing Tatum help us with, conceivably? Yeah. Maybe your acting?
I'm pretty good at that.
Yeah, I don't think I need that.
I guess, like, if he could make me, like, look as, like, all ripped up as he is.
So he would be Channing Trainer in our phones.
Oh, he would be Channing Trainer. But what would we be? I guess, like...
Trainee.
Maybe there's some other way I've entered Channing Tatum's life. Because there is Stacey Butt stuff.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just some kind of, like, social relationship, you know?
Yeah, like
rather
that.
Than a business transaction.
And that's it. He does get a lot of leeches on his butt in this movie. And so that's probably someone who removes... That's what
it's butt it's
stuff.
His, like, leech removes. Trainer.
Yeah.
He's like leech wrangler. You know?
Yeah.
If I was going to wrangle anything for Channing Tatum...
It would be his leeches.
So maybe I'm just Tanner Leech Wrangler.
What am I? What do I get to be?
How would you know? Let's talk about how you would know Channing Tatum.
I did have a famous man come to my house once here in Austin.
Okay.
He is one of the men from Entourage.
Mm.
And
which one? Turtle?
I don't know. I haven't seen it. But he came because he was dating a friend of mine's friend.
Okay.
So I think it would probably be Jack, friend of a friend of a friend or something like that.
Oh, that's how you would know him.
Jack.
Channing Tatum.
Yeah.
Yeah, like friend of turtles.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe through that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Turtle friend. That's good.
Yeah.
I think that's it. Jack, turtle friend.
Yeah.
And that's actually kind of cool.
That is kind of cool. Although I think, what was mine again?
Oh, butt stuff, I think. And what do the listeners at home, how do they do it? I guess, how would you know?
You just have to figure out your association with Channing Tatum.
How it would happen. And I think you and I did it pretty scientifically.
Yeah, and it can be sort of like, it can be non-diegetically, like Jack did, or it can be diegetically, like I did. You just really have to see what works best for
you.
You have
to reach inside yourself, yeah.
Yeah.
I think maybe we could probably take a little break now. And come back, and we got a lot to talk about with this film. Because, folks, listen, the first 15 minutes of this episode, I can now reveal I wasn't paying attention to anything that was happening.
The baby was there.
The baby was really taking my full attention. And you know what? There goes my hero.
Yeah.
I don't remember what we talked about. I don't remember, certainly don't remember anything that Tanner said. I just kind of like responded and looked at his eyes to see if like what I was saying seemed like something that might be a response to what he had said.
Yeah, and often it wasn't. But we've collected ourselves
in.
and now we're locked in, but now we need the regular podcast break.
Yeah, and I have this cool new character
who and talks you've about got this like, cool
the
new,
marginalization
like,
of genre fiction.
Yeah,
which is a
I
real
guess
thing.
Like he's like film crit, like
yeah,
or like it's like lit crit.
Very cool. Very
lit crit, Jack.
Yeah, there's a lot. Ugh. There's a lot. Yeah.
I don't know if I like it, lit crit, Jack.
It's a guy in your English lit class who takes up all the air in the room, even if what he's talking about is nice and good and right.
Yeah,
you kind of maybe wish he would not. It's that guy.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, and I hope he finds his way back into the episode.
Well, let's see on the other side of the break.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, everybody. It's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game, June's Journey.
I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's journey. A game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which, to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We're back, Tanner, but what the listeners don't know is you and I had a big, juicy gossip sesh,
didn't we?
During the break. Normally, we just get back to work like the businessmen that we are.
Oh, but, we were a little naughty.
We got a little naughty, and we just had a big gossip, didn't we? Yes.
A little judge. You know what? We fell into the trap of judgmental thinking, and it's something I'm trying to do less and less now, Jack.
Yeah, and what I did was enabling, which is look out for the enabling. You know what Mr. Rogers says is look out for the helpers? Yep. But the evil Mr. Rogers, if there was like a devil Mr. Rogers, he would say, look out for the enablers, because they're going to enable your, what is it, judgmental thinking. And that's
judgmental
what I
thinking.
Did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whew. And I was, I pulled it out of
your overall well-being, you know?
Good. Good for me, though.
But I use these supplements now. Taking these supplements.
Is this an ad? Help.
Now, you got to try your guy earlier. I was thinking I might like...
Do you think they'll be friends? You're like, I've got
like
these
supplement guy. Yeah.
Supplement guy can hang out with like annoying English class guy. Here's the thing. I was an annoying English class guy in college, but that was 20 years ago.
You've never taken off the mantle.
Yeah, but I got to feel what it would be like to be an annoying English class guy now. And it felt so good and right.
You have been.
Yeah,
you are that.
Yeah, it's always been in me.
It's always been in you.
Yeah.
It's always been you.
That's beautiful. Do you think we've described the whole movie?
Let's see. They foil the bad guy, and he gets arrested, and they get rescued by her agent.
Yeah, and it's funny. But and they
funny.
Fall in
and the whole
process.
Time she's wearing a big spangly bright pink jumpsuit,
and we didn't say what Brad Pitt does at all, but like
it's like a pretty big spoiler.
Yeah, he's funny in it. He's funny. Did you watch the movie? It's super fun. He like he initially is their guide, and he's like a badass.
He's Jack Traynor.
He's kind
he's
of
the ex Navy SEAL.
Channing Tatum is bad at doing it, but he is also in love with her, and they do a big kiss, and that's why it's a romance.
Yep.
I've got a hit segment, and it.
Yeah.
You have to get out of here. We'll bring in Arbiter Tanner for this one.
The just imagine the time bubble coming now.
Okay, the time bubble is coming. Here comes Arbiter Tanner. Arbiter Tanner, once again, you are nude.
Hello, Jack.
May I ask you, is it the time bubble that makes you have to be
nude?
Oh,
I've just come from the deep future.
Okay, yeah. What's going on there?
It is awful.
Okay.
It's a hellscape.
Hey, you thought 2022 was bad.
We've got an even worse COVID.
Okay, even worse.
And there's skeleton metal skeletons walking around stomping on skulls.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to here. I'm sorry to call you from that future, but the reason that we have Arbiter Tanner on the show is because
to render judgment.
Yeah, I have a hit segment. It's called On the One Hand.
No, I'm here to render judgment.
Yeah.
You pitch ratings of this film to me.
Yeah.
And I dispense judgment and justice.
Yeah, in the form of
withholding kisses, from the people whose reviews I don't agree with.
So what we're going to do, I went on to Rotten Tomatoes, I went to the user reviews section, and I found a couple reviews that really liked this one, a couple reviews that were kind of six of one, half a dozen of the other.
On the fence hand.
Yep, and then a few reviews that really kind of hated this film. So I'd like to run through those with you.
Please.
Arbiter Tanner, and you can judge who's right.
Judge, jury, and executioner.
So on the one hand, Trish... On June 3rd, 2022, so quite recently.
Trish what?
Trish.
Oh, I can't. She's foiled me.
She is the Trish. She's the the original Trish.
Yeah.
It's just Trish.
Yeah. I can't track her.
You can't track her. She gave this one 5 stars, and she says, funny, lighthearted, mm-hmm. just what I needed today.
Oh, is she having a bad day?
Not anymore.
Good point.
Yeah.
And that makes me feel better.
That makes me feel good. Yeah.
Knowing that Trish is having a better day makes my day better.
Yeah. I liked that one a lot. And here's my second and final 5-star review for this film. Most of the reviews for this film were 5 stars, I should say. But I only chose 2. And the second one is from Steven C. And he gave this...
Steven Seagal?
Colbert.
Oh.
Yeah. He gave this film 5 stars... On June 1st, so two days before Trish had her bad day turned upside down.
Okay.
He says, let me just count here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Ugh, I'm going to guesstimate something like 27. He says, ages 13 and older! And then there are 27 exclamation points.
Ages 13 and older.
Yeah. I think he's excited that the movie is PG-13.
Oh.
He's very excited.
Do you think he's correcting someone's grammar? Do you think at some point they say in the movie ages 13 and over, and he's like, no, it's actually ages 13 and older?
I don't think so.
That'd be a pretty wild thing to do.
That'd be wild. But
he's
given
it a 5-star review?
5 stars, and he says ages 13 and older, and then he's given it something like 27 exclamation points. Stephen Colbert fucking loved this, but he loved it for
and he loved that it was
idiosyncratic
like,
reason.
Yeah. Anyone over the
which
age of 13
is that it
can
was
PG-13.
I guess like if I had time I would go back and look and see if he only reviews PG-13 movies. Like, yes, they did it again.
oh, maybe. Yeah.
Yes, this is what I want. Maybe he just turned 13. And so he's on his 13th birthday, he's going to every PG-13 movie and being like, yes, you and I are fucking seeing eye to eye, finally.
It's like the guy, there's a guy on Steam who goes around reviewing video games, and his name is Ya or Na.
Okay.
And he's just like, he's like a god there, because he'll just go and do his little thumbs up or thumbs down on
that's
every
nice.
Like
just
every game.
That's
and if you know Ya said Ya, if you said, if you know Ya or Na said Ya, game's gonna be good.
Hell yeah.
And that's this guy. He's here to say, like, if you see his name in the comments, Stephen Colbert, you're looking at a PG-13 movie, baby.
Good. Okay. All right. Those are my On the One Hand reviews. I've got a couple of reviews that are what we like to call in this business On the Fence Hand.
Okay. Some of these ones drive me crazy because it's often...
These ones are tough.
Religious nuts.
I don't think that's the case in this case. So these guys kind of have something in common.
Okay.
And so folks who thought this movie was just fine, I think fall into a certain category of folk.
Okay.
Our first version of this is Matt S. We do know a guy called Matt S.
I know. But it's throwing off my whole algo. It's just where my mind clicks into his name every single time I try to take a new approach.
Yeah, it's hard. We'll have to come back to it. Maybe it's just this is Matt S. And he gives this film 3 stars on June 27th of this year. And he says, yeah, so that's already. Well, he's got more to say. He's got more
Matt Santos.
Okay, who's that?
The Democratic nominee for president in the 6th season of West Wing, who Josh Lyman goes to be the campaign manager for.
Got it. Perfect. So he says,
played by Jimmy Smits.
Perfect. He says, yeah, as if we're already in conversation. And then he says, again, kind of making me think that we are already in conversation, this is better than Cats.
This guy, I think, is doing that same service. Yeah. You know, his calibration is Cats. It's like, as long as you've seen Cats, you know, you're right there with him.
Yeah.
So now I know this is better,
this is better than Cats. Better Cats. Okay. Yeah, this is better than Cats. I know what you're thinking. And I go around and I say all the films that are better than Cats. And this one here is better than Cats.
Yeah.
Jamie D.
Well, we know from the movie that it stands for Dick.
Yeah. Jamie Dick gives this film 3 stars on May 23rd of 2022. And he says, and he and Matt Santos, I think, are kind of on the same page, but with a different thing. He says, unlike The Mummy, this will never be revisited. Good for what it is. Mindless entertainment.
Wow. There's like so much to think about in there. Such an odd praise of The Mummy.
Yeah.
And such a specific...
I think he does what Matt Santos does, which is he goes on every movie and he says, whether, like The Mummy, it will be revisited.
Right. There's so many other movies have sequels.
Yeah.
Is that all he means?
No, I don't think it's sequel. I think The Mummy is a movie that he thinks you can watch over and over again.
Oh, I thought he just meant The Mummy has a sequel and this one won't.
No.
He's saying he's never going to revisit this movie.
Yeah.
Unlike The Mummy.
Unlike The Mummy, which the quintessential
he's worn through
version
like
of,
20 DVDs of.
Yeah, exactly.
And Apple iTunes keeps like has barred his account from continuing to rent
The Mummy. Yeah.
The Mummy.
Okay.
Okay. That's
those are the
I
guys.
I mean,
on the
it's
fence.
Honestly pretty helpful.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Cats, but I've heard it's really bad. So I've
So
I've
we know this
that
is better
kind
than
of the
Cats.
Low bar.
Yeah.
And Jamie and I just rewatched the Mummy. Still great.
If you and I started a website that was called Better Than Cats or not.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
We just like pick any movie and just like rate it as being better than Cats or not.
Do you mean the animal Cats or the movie Cats?
Not the animal Cats. Nothing's better than that.
Yeah. I feel like we'd be sort of stealing Stephen, or who was it?
Stephen Colbert's thing. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
We shouldn't do that. Maybe we can hire him to work for us. Okay, here are some reviews that are, on the other hand, and these guys really hated this.
Okay.
I've got 5 of them. They're all very short.
Okay.
So I'll just kind of run through them.
You're going to have to do the names then as you go.
So this is Anonymous, and I think Anonymous has reviewed this twice.
The Hacker Cult?
I think this is the same guy. And it's the Hacker Cult. It's the Guy Fox Mask guy.
Yeah.
And I think this is the same guy. Tell me if you think it is or not. Maybe it's just 2 guys from Anonymous because they are Legion.
Yeah, they are Legion.
His first review says 2 stars, and this was 22 hours ago. So
fresh, hot.
It's hot. He says, a bomb, never worthy of a rewatch. And that's 2 stars.
I don't have that as a calibration.
I mean, it's the same.
Whether or not I want to rewatch
it's
something.
It's the same
over
point of view
again.
That Jamie D has.
Yeah, right.
But like slightly less positive. And then I think it's the same guy again because he's then reviewed it again and he's given it 2 stars again and it was also 22 hours ago. And he says the following, which is a more interesting version of what I think is exactly the same comment, but he says, Lame-o, blame-o. Weak, yeah. Never worthy of a rewatch.
Okay. Yeah, I think he took... Well, which one like chronologically is first?
I think the bomb one is first, and he's like, God damn it, I should have said lame-o, blame-o.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he wanted another run at it.
Yeah. Yeah,
he wasn't
that's
happy
fair
with
enough.
The first one. Yeah. And you know what? I admire that, and yeah. That's something that Arbiter Tanner's going to have to take into
yeah.
account.
I it's just like, really want Arbiter
at
Tanner
editor's instinct.
To rule in favor of Trish, though.
Feed me some more of these bad ones.
Okay, here's what Aravind N says on July 5th, 2022. He gives it 1.5 stars. And Aravind says the following thing. I slept halfway
that's
through
That's you.
This- Yeah, that's me. I slept halfway through this boring and very predictable nonsense soap opera. I don't understand how critics rate this over 60%, and series like The Terminal List gets 34%. I guess there is politics behind these discrepancies.
Okay, I gotta look it up.
So The Terminal List, so what's the politics? What's happening with the MSM? That they're like, hey, let's say The Terminal List is bad, and let's say that The Lost City is good for politics reasons.
Yeah, it's politics. The Terminal List is a Chris Pratt Navy SEALs
okay.
like military porn.
Do you think it's the same shadowy figures who made everyone not want to watch The Terminal List and made everyone want to watch The Lost City?
I'm looking just sort of at a brief glance of like The Terminal List appearing in various news sites headlines.
Yeah.
Seems like pretty positive assessment all around.
Okay.
I would say neutral to positive.
Maybe Aravind, his work has kind of shifted the balance and the scales have fallen from people's eyes. And they were like, you know what? We should be watching The Terminal List with Chris Pratt.
Now I'm deep in Terminal okay. List lore.
Yeah.
And I'm pulling the ripcord, Jack. You have to pull me out of
Please
here.
Please come out of it. Yeah. And leave. Yeah. Okay, good. I've got two more. Anonymous, yep. again, from the Hacker Collective, a member of the Hacker Collective, and don't try to track them down. They're legion.
Yeah, they're legion. You can find one, but yeah. three more will stand where he
and
fell.
And they will something. I can't remember what it is, but they will. And don't something.
Don't expect us.
Yeah.
We will.
Yeah, review a bunch of movies on Rotten yeah. Tomatoes, and we're going to fucking give them very bad reviews.
Yeah, because of politics.
Yeah. So Anonymous gives this 1.5 stars on June 5th, 2022, and Anonymous says the following thing. And I think, like, Anonymous is, like, the dark matter version of Stephen Colbert, okay. who was really excited that this got age 13 and older.
Right.
Anonymous says, this movie is for children's! So overrated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that everyone?
Children's? No, I've got one more.
Oh, okay.
This is the final one, and then you can pass judgment. This is someone called Noonie New. And Noonie New gives this film 0.5.
Oh, am I supposed to guess their last name? Noonie New. The Numa Numa guy.
It's the Numa Numa guy. It's Noonie New, and Noonie New gives this film 0.5 stars on May 23rd, 2022. And Noonie New says the following thing. And Arbiter Tanner, you're going to be endeared to this person in the same way that we were both endeared to Trish. But
okay.
please don't let recency bias make you like them more than you like Trish, who's a clear favorite and a lovely person.
I'll try not to let it influence my decision, but yeah. I also really like the Numa Numa guy.
Yeah. Here's what the Numa Numa guy says. I didn't get to watch it. I was asked to leave.
Any more?
No, that's it.
Oh, God, what a mystery. I want to know so much more, you know?
And it's all one sentence. It's all one run-on sentence. I didn't get to watch it. I was asked to leave.
But I've left a review anyway. I've gone ahead and left a review for you.
0.5 stars.
Trish.
Yeah.
Trish gets all my kisses.
Yeah,
everyone else
love Trish.
Gets
love Trish
locked into here. A cold prison of no kisses.
Yeah, and regret.
Yep.
Okay, thank you, Arbiter Tanner. You can come back now, regular Tanner.
Oh, thank you.
We don't have a lot of time left. I want to briefly touch on the theory that I have just come up with, that this film is set in the City of Angels verse.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You said that tonight?
I just came up with it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let's explore it together. Give me your opening salvo here.
Okay. Here's what I think. So Oscar from the, there's a B plot that's very funny and cute. That's Oscar from The Office is like has a charter plane and
yep.
Miss Congeniality's agent who's like trying to save her teams up with him and they're really cute yep. together and
they're
very
funny. Yep.
And they have like a really funny exchange where she asks if he's a murderer.
Yeah.
And he gives like a very unconvincing no.
I'm about to ask you something. You better tell me the truth. Have you ever murdered anyone before?
No.
I don't know if I really buy it, but let me tell you something. If you ever think about murdering me, I promise I will murder you first.
My pleasure.
You are weird. Let's go.
But then at the end of the film, they're on an island all celebrating. And Oscar from The Office comes and offers Miss Congeniality a cocktail.
Okay.
And he says,
my dear?
And she says,
you're an angel. Thank you.
And he says,
how did you know?
Oh.
And then it's just kind of left there. So he's an angel yeah. from the City of Angels. And doesn't that change things a little bit?
And we're sure that's not the name of his character in the movie?
I don't think so. I think he's called Oscar in everything that he does. His name is Oscar, the actor.
Right. Okay. Yes, that is true. And he's like one of those actors who's like, sorry, you have to rename the character Oscar. I get too confused.
Yeah. So that's
people
fun.
People try to call me anything else.
It's in the City of Angels verse.
I would like this to be in the City of Angels verse. And so does that mean he is her angel in the same way that Nick Cage was Meg Ryan's angel?
I mean, it just means that City of Angels is true. And yeah, I guess it means he's her it just means that City of Angels is true.
Here's what I suspect. Remember the same way that Dennis Franz, what's his name? Jonathan Franzen?
Yeah.
could also see the angels?
Yeah.
Or had like an experience with the angels and sort of was aware of what was happening with Meg Ryan?
Yeah.
I think that's what's happening with Miss Congeniality and
she
her
can
agent.
See the angels.
Yeah. Okay. I think Miss Congeniality has had a brush with angels before, so she's aware of Oscar.
Yeah.
And he is actually the agent's angel.
Okay, that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, that's my headcanon.
That's beautiful. I like that. And headcanon is a thing that the teens used to say.
Yeah, and like, when was that? 15 years ago?
Yeah, and it's still kind of not a thing I totally know about, but I think I understand it from context. Let's do our quick burns.
Okay.
And it's our... A lot of good burns in this film. Why don't you go first?
26-minute, 38-second mark. Daniel Radcliffe has kidnapped Sandra Bullock, and she is in his compound on the island, and she's meant to be translating some hieroglyphics to like find this treasure. Mm-hmm. And he's leaving her to do her work, and she says,
they will come for me.
And he says,
who exactly? Your many cats?
And she says,
oh, I don't have cats.
And he says,
somehow even more sad.
Pretty good burn.
That's good burn.
Yeah. And you should like it as a cat man.
It's a burn on me. And there's another burn on me in this book I'm realizing, which is at the 6 minute and 30 second mark when the agent is coaching Sandra Bullock to go on stage for her book tour. And she says,
remember, no grumpy face, big words, or boring academic talk.
Which is literally everything you say to me before we do our podcast.
Yeah.
Here's my burn. Ready?
Yeah.
So the agent comes and like they rescue Daniel Radcliffe and Sandra Bullock and Die Hard's son are in a coffin, but they do escape. And then they're also rescued on the same boat that Daniel Radcliffe, who is the villain, is rescued on.
Yeah.
And the agent says to Sandra Bullock,
I found a British guy in a cave. I thought he was a little boy, but he has a full beard.
Yeah, Daniel Radcliffe's tiny.
Yeah, he's small. He's very
which Jack
funny.
And I know because we met him once.
Did we?
Yeah, at major media company.
Did we?
Yeah.
Shows what I remember. something about a smaller part than I expected. Right?
Good. Yeah, any like lit rants you want to do before we go?
I'm done, but we have not seen the last of this character.
Okay. I can't wait.
Yeah. I guess we're going to go. We've said everything we needed to say. Yep. We've said everything we needed to say. You and I are cowards. We were going to do Love in the Time of Horses because this is a...
oh, let's just do it.
We don't have time.
Okay.
And we're
cowards. We talked about it on the break. We said we were going to do Love in the Time of Horses.
Because it's a book
Jack
about
accused
that.
Us of being too afraid of it.
We're afraid of it. We have a
No, we just haven't done it since it. We started doing mostly movies.
Yeah, but
we need to pitch a Hollywood script, you know?
Yeah.
I also think we kind of nailed Love in the Time of Horses. I think we had the story
the
almost entirely
two chapters.
Down. Yeah.
And like the prequel.
The Bible.
Yeah. We'll get there. We will get there. We promise you this.
Yeah.
Everyone who's been clamoring.
There would have been a really great opportunity for it tonight, but it just didn't. It wasn't in the cards, okay?
We got to go, and we're going to leave. We're going to go. I'd like to thank the, what do we call everybody? Baby Nation and the Sex Bugs for bearing with us this week. I'd like to thank you, Tanner, so very much for bearing with me. Hey, subscribe to our Patreon. We are talking about the TGIF shows, but we're actually this week talking about must-see TV.
Oh, yeah, because the World Series of Baseball is on.
It's complicated.
So we have to flip over to NBC
and
also
fun.
5 years into the future.
Everyone's having a nice time in there. And it's also a really good way to support our show and keep us doing what we're doing. So it's patreon.com/BSCC podcast. Thank you to everyone who has subscribed. And thank you to everyone who is about to subscribe. We love and kiss you so very much. You can also support our show at bit.ly/rattlesnakejake. You can please and in fact must join our Facebook group, Baby Nation, on Facebook. Please rate and review the show wherever you rate and review shows. Thank you so much to everybody who has already done that. All that remains for me to say right now is that this week we watched a movie. The movie we watched was called The Lost City. And next week, I think we said this last week.
Oh, I don't get to pick? You always give me my picks.
I can give you your picks, but I will say that my wife, Sarah, has been dying for us to watch Only You.
Yeah, we were supposed to watch that this week, but yeah. you gave me some enigmatic...
Yeah, like, you want to know what it was? I had to watch this movie during the day because I just ran out of time, and Sarah really wanted to watch it with me. That was why we couldn't do it.
We're going to do Only You, starring Iron Man and someone else.
America's actual sweetheart. Sorry, Sandra. It's Marissa Tomei.
Oh, yeah.
And Robert Downey Jr. You want to hear this? A childhood incident has convinced Faith Korvach that her true love is a guy named Damon Bradley, but she has yet to meet him. Preparing to settle down and marry a foot doctor, Faith impulsively flies to Venice when it seems that she meet... Well, this is, seems complicated.
It seems like a job for...
It costs $20.1 million to make.
Jeff and Elmer, almost.
That's what we're watching. Only You. Everybody has to. You know what? Actually, normally this isn't mandatory, but it's mandatory. You have to watch it with us. So
yeah,
you're not allowed to listen to the show unless you watch this. So you have to watch it this week. Hey! No, stop it! Listen.
Yeah.
You've got a whole week where you're just gonna watch whatever stupid thing you watch, and instead, take the fucking time and watch Only You. Do the work, and I expect. Every
I wish I could watch.
Person.
Hey!
Yeah,
I wish I could watch what I want to watch.
Yeah, but we don't for you, and vice versa is true too. And this is the first
one
time
we asked for it.
One time, everybody watch Only You. Every fucking buddy.
Yeah,
all of you watch it. Thank you. All that remains is for me to say that this week I have been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring,
and I hope you find your Channing Lee ever after.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, Tatum. We might be childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure as crazy kids to work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows. Beaver!